Is my microphone on? And this is Flea Market Finds, and this is our 40th show.
Cumplimos 40.
40.
Los 40.
Felicidades.
And today we are commemorating the 40th anniversary of the Chilean coup d'etat. Can we say that? Is that correct?
Así es, sí. Golpe de Estado.
Yeah. So we have a Chilean playlist and a Chilean guest. So let's listen to this first and then we'll introduce
más intensos son cada día más. Se propagan como plaga por eso bambú y CO2 inician la saga antifascismo. Es que nunca me dará lo mismo el cinismo de aquel que tras un nacionalismo se da el derecho de juzgar tu lugar. Dicen que si no es tu tierra no puedes opinar. Que si eres diferente debes cambiar. Que si no te gusta puedes largar. Que por la violencia te van a obligar. Digo que a mí nunca, nunca me harán callar, lo único que no tolero es la intolerancia. ¿Cómo se permite esta audacia? Una congregación de quien promueve discriminación, que se suponen de una raza superior. Hoy tienen su partido y hasta una escuela. Estas son secuelas, hijo de Pinochet, dan pena pensar que gente ve como un tiempo mejor. Este periodo oscuro en que reinó el terror.
Es el momento en que el hombre se esconde de la masa fanática para pisotear a otro hombre de otra raza, sea.
Llega la saga, saga. Un cobrador que no da plaza, así que paga. Sirve más una palabra que metralla. Aunque vistas de cordero, sigo viéndote el plumero. Pero desde tu país me echaste a la planta y ahora vuelve la raíz fortificada. Si no pasa la tormenta, ¿cómo llegará la calma?
Ding dong.
El infierno quiere tu alma, signori. Escupa a Pinochet y a ese puto Fujimori. Con la saga, saga, cobra, paga, paga. Por la plaga, plaga, dedo en llaga, llaga. Ni perdón ni olvido en la saga, saga.
Seo dos bambuda
con la saga, saga. Es la saga, saga. Cobra, paga, paga, por la plaga, plaga, dedo en llaga, llaga. Mi perdón ni olvido en la saga, saga.
CO2 bambuda
con la saga, saga.
Asbun, Le Pen, Thatcher, entre otros. Autor intelectual es verdadero.
Monstruos,
verdadero.
Rostros.
Se esconden tras el poder. Donde todos lo ven, donde pueden ejercer presión, represión. Mi opinión sobre las cuestiones que debemos unirnos para generar oposición. Tras el emblema frente lírico combatiente. Salir a la calle y hacernos más fuerte.
A la carga, la saga comenzando la batalla. Oye, puto nazi, a mí no me das la talla. Vaya, vaya. Soy ese muchacho que se pasa de la raya. Miro y no veo la factura. Así que me la suda que esta tierra sea tuya. Porque yo le llamo error a la fuerza sin razón. Sufrí por la matanza en campos de concentración. Y si eres creyente reza. Porque con mi rima yo pongo fin a tu pureza. Facha, con los inmigrantes ha llegado tu mala racha. Dime quién fue
Hitler,
dime quién fue
Franco.
Dos hijos de puta que querían el mundo
blanco
y solo dieron pena. Atacas en manada como las hienas. Escaso de cordura. Mira a tu familia y dime si su raza es pura. Oh, aquí me ves. Ponte a pisar las calles como Pablo Milanesa. Puesta, la vida como una ruleta siempre da la vuelta. Y plis plas, trampas en el juego. Dime qué hace un pueblo contra las armas de fuego.
Casi nada.
A seres queridos llamo desaparecidos en el drama. Y los asesinos todavía están arriba con su trama. Mintiendo, mintiendo, con las manos manchadas.
A mí me sorprende la palabra neonazi. Yo considero que no son nuevos. Hacen ya 60 años, presentan la misma ideología, la misma estética crónica que Oveja Dolly.
Es la saga, saga, cobra, paga, paga. Por la plaga, plaga, dedo en llaga, llaga. Mi perdón ni olvido en la saga, saga.
CO2 bambura
con la saga, saga. Es la saga, saga, cobra, paga, paga. Por la plaga, plaga, dedo en llaga, llaga. Mi perdón ni olvido en la saga, saga.
CO2 bambura
con la saga, saga.
Maquisa,
Ishikuta, en el 99,
ya lo sabes,
frente lírico combatiente,
rompedientes.
This is Flea Market Finds.
¿Y por qué haces voz de NPR, güey?
NPR es... Oh, and this is Flea Market Finds, episode
40. Is that NPR? Yeah. Oh my God. I'm not listening to the same show that you are.
I'm trying to do Jasmine. Not to do her, to do, you know, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I get you, I get you.
Well, but she's my friend.
Estábamos hablando ahora de esta
canción. Yeah, first we're going to introduce our guest.
Sí, bueno, está bien.
Pancho Pescador.
Yeah.
Gracias por invitarme.
I'm so excited.
Chilean guest. We've been trying to get him in the show since the very beginnings of this show.
Sí, hace un año más o menos, pero...
Over a year trying to get him.
Let's be redundant. Yeah. I'm actually really, really excited.
Wait,
right now.
Talking
it's
English?
Finally sinking in the fact that you're here because I've been a huge fan of your work. Photography work.
Thank you.
And as a photography aficionado, I'm like, oh my God, that dude is good.
He's always out there with his camera.
So,
registering the street life of
ya, Oakland. Ya es
la, exactamente la vida de Oakland.
Ya, yeah, you know, like I feel like I'm in diapers still with the camera, even though I feel that I have the eye, mm-hmm. you know, like. Because I'm a visual artist.
You're a visual artist, yeah.
So,
and
you know.
Do, and you do have pretty eyes.
Ah, thank you.
And he does have pretty eyes.
Now, yeah. Look like butterflies.
You know, yeah. No, because it will make a notice that you do. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Gracias.
Anyway, okay, keep going. Keep going.
Right? I have to, for the record, Pedro yeah. falls in love with every single guest that we bring in the show.
Because we have the best guests. That's
and
why.
And we're trying to encourage that.
Está bien, está bien. Alcanzo para todos.
He's going to get a crush on you.
Alcanzo para todos.
Bueno, pero estábamos
hablando. But we would say, like, Pancho, besides a skilled photographer, like you were saying, he's also a muralist. He's also a political activist. He's, like, many different things. And he's very involved in the music and arts scene here in the Bay Area. And he's from Chile. And today, like we say in the introduction, is the 40th anniversary of the Chilean coup d'etat, where they took away.
O como se le dice ahora, el otro 9/11.
Yeah.
Que es absurdo. They're
yeah. Sí. Yeah. That's one of the.
En realidad, it was basically.
The other 9/11.
Yeah,
other
actually, 9/11. We say as Chilean, at least the Chileans from the Bay Area, mm-hmm. we say. 2 9/11s in a lifetime.
Oh wow!
Oh wow!
And you know it's crazy because we in 2003 we with a group of Chileans we create this project and which is a collective of artists, different mediums, you know, musicians, poets, visual artists.
For
the 30th anniversary.
And, I remember.
But also, we were, like, talking all the time. Like, this is crazy, man. It's September 11, you know, for us, is like, a day that we all, you know, like, commemorate in different ways. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this happens. And plus, it's my mother's birthday.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
Happy birthday, mommy.
So, a lot of different emotions, conflicts of emotions.
Exactly.
And we have a 9/11 also in Mexico, but I'll talk about that. Oh, I didn't know that.
So, let's go back to talk about the. We never end up saying what was the song we were listening to. That was La Saga by Maquisa. It's a 1999 song. And Maquisa, for everybody here who don't know them, the word is the Chilean hip hop group. Where Ana Tishu came out from.
All of us.
And it's very symbolic of what we were talking because both the four members of Maquisa, they were all children of the political exiles that were born or raised outside of Chile during the Pinochet dictatorship. Ana Tishu, as everybody knows, she was born and raised in France. Seo Dos, who was rapping on this track, he was born and raised where? I don't even know.
Like I'm not sure, but since I know he was
Sensei
living
was
in
Canada,
Montreal, Canada,
and then DJ Squad was in South Africa. Yeah. So like I think Seldos was in Denmark.
Yeah.
Everybody was like spread around the world, and like in after 89 when the democracy came back to Chile, they came back as kids born and raised outside, and they brought hip hop to Chile. Basically, that generation. They discovered hip hop abroad, brought it to Chile, and they united because they had that in common. That was the thing that united them.
Yeah, even though you know they were Chilean rappers before
I was
them, obviously.
Most of the generation were
like the guys from La Posse Latina was the first
signed
group.
They were.
He was also a son of Jimmy was also like a son of. Grew up in Panama also as the son of an exile. So it was a common thing in the 90s generation of Chilean rappers to have like to be sons of daughters of political exiles.
Right.
But and you were going to say something about the merit.
The what?
The merit of the guys that came from outside that returned to
the
country.
I think they brought a different flavor to it.
Definitely.
You know, like and their influences from Europe, from Canada, wherever they were coming from South Africa, and I think that's enriched.
Definitely.
You know, like the scene down there in Chile.
Yeah.
And something that I was pointing out earlier when the music was on
off the air.
We're not really in the air, but anyway.
The air.
Some people would say, and this is maybe a hypothesis that I have, after mm-hmm. what I've seen in the Mexican scene and what happens when people come from other places, they would think that they're not as legitimate as right. the people that stayed in Chile.
Sure.
And so can you go again ahead and tell us mm-hmm. what happened when Ana or all the people
well,
that
I
came
think
back
they
to
they
Chile?
Well, I think they were definitely people that questioned them. I don't know directly, but I can tell because of their lyrics. And in this album, is called Aerolíneas Maquisa. It was their second official release by Maquisa in 1999. And there's a song, I don't remember which one was it, that they actually talk about it. They mentioned the fact that, hey, we were not here during the dictatorship, but we can talk about it still because we know how it feels. You know, they have the different point of view, of course, because...
Right. It's the other side.
Yeah.
Also, Anita point, right? sings that song. What is the name of the... It's in that album also.
Mm-hmm. La Rosa
de los Vientos.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's pretty much, you know, like how people feel that not having a clear identity, yeah. you know, as being like, okay,
yeah,
well...
Yeah, what am I?
Yeah, where I am.
Am I,
you know,
French,
like,
or am
they
I
They don't
Chilean?
Consider me French, but, you know, I go to Chile and they... You know, like
right, and it's exactly a lot of the immigration that, for instance, the Dreamers have, or people mm-hmm. that are immigrants yeah. in this country. They're all like, okay, yeah, I'm Mexican, but I grew up here,
right?
And it's a complete mm-hmm. weird.
And that happened yeah. a lot in South America in general. Like I was talking to a lot of like Uruguayan rappers. It happened the same thing. A lot of like people that were like the pioneers in the 90s of the Uruguayan hip hop scene. They also were born and raised abroad, like the case of Juan Campodónico, who's now in and Luciano Superville. Both of them, both of them are now in Bajo Fondo with Santa Olaya.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
in the '90s, they were both of them were hip hop artists in Uruguay, and Superville was born and raised in France. Also during his parents' exile, and Campodónico was born in Uruguay but raised in Mexico. Also during exile, so like. There was a lot of that in South America of kids were raised in other places and came back with hip hop to South America where hip hop didn't arrive naturally because it didn't come through right. the radios or there was no hip hop on TV or the radios or the magazines. So that was before the internet, that was the way that it was traveling basically.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's insane to me to think because I grew up in Mexico and until my adult life, and you did too in Argentina. Mm-hmm. Where are you from?
I'm
anyway,
you came here as an adult.
But
it's
the
an
identity,
I came here when I was 23.
Yeah,
yeah.
There
as
you
an
go.
Adult.
So you
so,
didn't have.
But
such
you know,
a strong
it's almost gonna be like half of my life soon. You know, like being here. Mm-hmm. You know, like that than in Chile. So you know, like I was just. Thinking about that, you know, like
and
when
you
I'm
like
here,
you have an identity
I'm like getting homesick, you know, from Chile. Oh, Chile, the Aliceid, you know, it's so mm-hmm. good, so nice, the food, everything is. Mm-hmm.
Until
you know?
Get there,
and then
you're
I
like,
get
what
there, I stay for a month, and I'm like ready to come back to Auckland, you know.
To me, the main
I start
test
missing some
is
stuff.
When I have to deal with Mexican bureaucracy.
Oh,
it's
man.
Like,
just get in line
oh
down there.
Ah,
shit.
I mean, I love everything yeah. else, but as long as I don't have to do anything in a bank or...
And you're okay.
Just in a public office.
I just had to go to get my passport, you know, like down there.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's like, I have to... You know, it was a whole morning, basically.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, like a huge line.
A whole day. It's ridiculous. I mean...
Now in Argentina, they got it better. Like, they have an office that's particularly for making passports, so they stream it like faster. So when I went down there 2 years ago, it was easy and nice. But like historically, in Argentina, for some reason, the passports office was controlled by the police department,
Uh-oh.
And it was like totally corrupted, like super like nasty. Wow. And, like you go there and spend the whole day there. It was like this old office in the main police department, and I had an uncle who was a police commissar, so he would like make us go through like skip some some parts of the whole, you
process.
Know, like the whole process.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Because I come with, you know, like
mojadito, con
marito, yeah, with palanca. But it was nasty because, like, at the same time, like I would do it fast. I would see all the other people that they've been there sitting there for the whole day, and I was like, oh, why it has to be like that? Why does it have to be like that?
Okay, so here's an idea. If you're gonna spend a day there, like at the passport office, why don't you just they make it so you can have like a little. Like, I don't know, a little lawn chairs and drinks. Oh, and
you know, somebody give you a foot massage.
No, no,
you're
going to
be there for a day, so might as well make it, you know, nice.
When you spa. Go here to the consulate, it's also the same thing. It's like you're transported to Mexico in terms of your in bureaucratic terms.
Bureaucracy, but not, they might as well put
like, an illegal
terms. When you're waiting, you get to have, you get to attend a sexual education class.
What?
While you're waiting, and they're like, the woman comes in.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
how to give head
she
and stuff like
fake,
that? This is how you suck a dick.
Wait, where is this?
No.
Where does this happen?
You know, the time that I went.
Yeah. You mean here?
Here? We went to register my son because my son is he has a Mexican birth certificate. And,
oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, he's Mexican and American.
Ooh.
And, you know, you have to bring three witnesses or two witnesses and my husband and myself and all like copies and copies and copies of like 5,000 different documents. And so we were waiting there and then all of a sudden this woman comes in and he's like, "So atención, por favor." and she just like, like the minute she took out the fake penis, everybody's attention was there.
She was holding a dildo in front of her.
Really? This is true?
This is true. I was like,
she was putting
this
the condom.
This is how you put the condom.
And I show her my baby now, like, too late.
So she was putting a condom on a dildo?
Yeah, she was showing how to put on the condom.
With her mouth? You can also do it with your mouth.
Oh, really?
You should do that. You should go teach people how to enjoy.
I heard you can do it with your mouth, with your feet, with your breasts. If you have big breasts, you can do it with your breasts. All that stuff.
I'll think about that.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time to listen to some music.
Is it?
We're going back now. We're like really getting into the mood now.
Some Chilean cumbia.
Again, I brought it up.
I know. Exactly. See?
What you want to
We're doing okay.
Do you know Patricio Cobarde?
It's you.
La cumbia Patricio Cobarde?
No.
It's a Chilean crazy cumbia band. Pretty much in the
but
same.
This is like the classic.
No. This
cumbia
is
or it's like current. Yeah. No.
It's like in the same school of Chico Trujillo.
Oh, I see.
You know, like there's been a lot of like cumbia bands that came after Chico Trujillo they kind of like do cumbia but with a like punk rock
feel
personality. So, like cumbia Patricio Cobarde is like that. It's live. But they do kind of like mashups and cumbia covers or like bastard covers of songs.
Bastard.
And this is called
nice.
La Cumbia.
I like that.
Yeah.
Bastard cover.
This is La Cumbia Imperial, and you'll see why it's called La Cumbia Imperial.
Viene.
So that was
La Cumbia. Me imaginé a Pinochet así de Darth Vader.
Yeah. So that was La Cumbia de Patricio Cobarde. That's the name of the band. And the song is Cumbia Imperial. And of course, it's a cover of the Imperial March by John Williams.
Pero esta es la canción que deben haber tocado, que he visto una versión ya en YouTube, pero esa es la canción que deben tocado en la escena del bar, ¿no? De la cantina. Exactamente. Pero pueden haber tocado esta canción, ¿no?
Well, you know, Amigos Invisibles did the cover of the Cantina song in their last album.
¿Sí? No lo he escuchado.
They kind of like twitch it in a way, like so they don't have to pay the rights to John Williams.
Que bueno, una de las
in the latest Amigos Invisibles album, there's a song like, in the middle of the song they do like an interpolation of the cantina song. Yeah,
exactly.
Like they do live mashups.
I love those concerts because they kind of like pump you up and then like it's really
and in the middle they start playing something else. So they started doing that in their rehearsals and they ended up including it in the album, but they kind of like changing some notes, so it's not exactly the cantina song.
Pero hay varios documentales en YouTube acusando a John Williams que también él se robó esa canción de una canción que ya existía de los 40s, ¿no?
Es como Shakira
para quien trabaja,
¿eh? Sí, exactamente.
Es como Shakira y el Waka Waka.
Eso haz de cuenta igual. Sí, entonces
también se la robó.
Exactamente. Sí.
Maldita.
Entonces al final pues es de todos, ¿no? Es de la comunidad ya.
Oh yeah.
Bueno, volviendo al tema del
pero
del
el arte
9-11.
Debería ser libre.
Exactamente.
Sí. Yo siempre he dicho eso, por eso el trabajo de muralista que yo hago, eso es lo que me atrajo, porque yo empecé pintando cuadros, canvas, lo que cualquier muchacho está estudiando.
I thought you started doing graffiti.
No. Yo empecé, yo soy entrenado, I'm trained classical artist, you know, like fine art artist.
¿Dónde estudiaste?
You know? Estudié en la Escuela de Bellas Artes de Valparaíso, pero no terminé.
No importa.
Bueno, o sea, para mí no importa, pero en mi vida laboral sí importa.
Yeah.
Increíble como ese papelito.
Of course, because you work also as a teacher.
Exactamente.
As an art
Así
teacher.
Que ya saben, chicos, quédense en la escuela.
Quédense en la escuela, no hagan los errores.
Pero voy a hacer aquí, como dice aquí, le llaman Devil's Advocate, ¿no? El diablo.
Ahí vas.
Ahí voy.
El abogado del diablo.
No, pues. Personas como Steve Jobs, ¿no? Él nunca terminó la escuela.
Ni Bill Gates. Jobs.
Y todos ellos
Steve Jobs lo que sabía hacer bien, güey, era mandar. Era así como que quiero...
Yeah, but for a job like that, you don't need a title.
Exactamente, pero la verdad es que las ideas van más allá que...
Y a mí, o sea, en cierta forma, el destino, la vida me kind of throw me out of school, you know, like it wasn't something that I, well, it was the you know, like the result of my actions in that time, but at the same time, I fucked it up, you know, like I just kind of blew it, you know, I was like drinking, having fun, parties.
That's a true artist. That's a true artist.
Drugs and rock and roll.
I was like,
true
exactly,
artist. Yeah.
Sex. You know,
it made you an artist.
Roll, man.
Yeah. It made you an artist.
We're not going there, Juan.
He liked that. I saw his eyes.
Let's share stories. Let's share stories.
Ooh, we have
no,
a story.
No, no, no. I would like to share the story.
Yeah, I had some good stories, though. I mean,
no, but what I wanted to say. What I did want to say
confessions,
is like,
confessions.
It's like, for example,
it only took half mezcal and half.
We have Negra Modelo sponsoring our show
to
today.
Do this, I know. To achieve this.
I know.
What is going to happen? Yeah.
No, but what I wanted to say is that in my case, for example, I do have a degree. I did finish my university and I got my diploma and I never used it, not even once.
Yeah, but a lot of people never, is like driving
you are a
cabs, you know?
You
like
studied media, right?
Yeah, I have a degree as a journalist and I never used it. Nobody ever requested it. Like, I've been working as a journalist for over 10 years.
Okay.
I never had to show my degree to anybody. So
well, next time you come here, you're going to show
us. But is that what you mean? Like, people ask you, like, we want to know where you graduated
I mean,
from.
When you are About all when you are teaching, you know, like when you are in education, all the credentials.
You have to have your credentials.
Like,
yeah, if I wanted to teach.
And I love teaching, you know, I feel like, you know, I get the best reviews in my teaching job.
Just
you
print
know?
It out.
I just print it out.
Yeah.
Just in, you know, sure. The mission, they'll do
yeah,
it for
they will.
$60.
Any school. Any school you want.
We were just talking about, you know, Hecho en México and how.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to disclose your intentions that you have with it because I don't want to give ideas to other teachers. That's your idea. Just keep your idea.
Keep your
ideas. But you know, I could totally tell that you're passionate about it and that you're really, really into it and that you're really...
I mean, I discovered that I have the patience and
that's
you know,
huge.
That's huge. You know,
what's being a father
and
part
also,
of it.
You know, like I feel like I'm one of them. You know, like I teach 13, 14, and sometimes I get in the level. Sometimes I push them to think philosophy. You know, like and but what I tell my students all the time is art is about everything. Mm-hmm. Involves everything because they have a concept of the artist, you know, like, oh, it's about only this. It's just about make pretty things.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you start realizing that art involves everything, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the craziness, you mm-hmm. know, like the imagination, the creativity, it's a powerful tool. Mm-hmm. You know, to open up minds, and I always thought because you know you were mentioning my referring to myself as an activist, mm-hmm. but in reality, I feel
an artivist.
Yeah, well, I think my most revolutionary act is being teaching. Because mm-hmm. that allows me to go to, you know, the
young mind.
Yeah, the young mind.
Yeah, to, if you really want to apply some
washing brains.
Yeah. All the fresh.
Yeah, but honestly, that's definitely where the true activists are. I mean, seriously, education is where you will have the most impact.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not saying this like, oh, you're bringing propaganda from whatever.
No. I'm completely agree with you. I think that's the key, you know, like, because, you know, like, I've been in many march, violent, not violent, you know, and
you've been occupied. You've been occupying.
Yeah,
and I know,
never
I
seen,
I was
and
gonna...
I never seen really any concrete result out of that.
Well,
you know,
hold on,
even though it's important, I think it's part of it.
It's very cathartic.
It's like the rock concert for me.
Yeah.
You know, like going to the march is like
being in the mosh pit.
Exactly. You know,
I actually, you know, all mm-hmm. these years that I've been following you on Facebook or whatever you post stuff, but particularly during the Occupy Oakland.
Yeah.
You were really, really active, and you had a lot of. You documented a lot of the things that happened there, and I think yours are one of the most complete, and most touching images of the whole Occupy movement. So I would like
including an image of me and my wife.
Marching.
He took the best picture of me and my wife marching at the.
Yeah, that's a beautiful picture
with the
family.
It's framed on.
No,
like
it's
there
not
in the
framed.
Chimney.
Yeah, well, you know, for me that was like. Oh my God! Finally, you know, like because I've been talking about politics to my coworkers, to my students. You know, I worked for 10 years as a carpenter. You know, I was like in the union. You know, like it was like a job. You know, 40 hours a day, and I'll bring politics to the table. You know, and I even challenge the people from the union. You know, because a lot of people from the union they're not revolutionary at all, you know. Mm-hmm. They're passive. They're just getting their check. They're getting fat.
Because
you know?
they like the comfort
and,
of it.
And at least in the carpenters, you know, I don't want to be unfair with all unions because I know there is some very combatant unions, you know, like the port union and others,
the
you know, the steel.
The steel
workers.
I know exactly.
She worked for a union.
Oh yeah, but the carpenters, for some reason, they're not really revolutionary, and I challenge them. But you know, I've been talking about this for a long time, and always everybody look at me like, "What the fuck, man? why you're here, man? You're in the wrong place. Go to Cuba or go back to your country.
Yeah, if you don't like how it's here, why do you came? Why do you come here if you don't like it here?
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. But no, but it's true, you know? And all of a sudden, you know, when all this movement in Occupy started, you know, I see that platform opening in a big time and people willing to listen and really being something every day on the table, you know, like where people were making it, you know, it was just not talking, you know, it's just the fact that everybody got together in the plaza. I mean, it's so awesome, you know, like in United States, man, you know,
that
like
was unique.
In the heart of the empire, you know, like all these people with different ideas getting together to fight capitalism, you know, and I got so excited. So I was like, man, this is what I've been waiting all my life, you know, like, because, you know, like 89, you were talking about when
the return,
you know,
of democracy.
The return of democracy, which I think is bullshit, you know, it's like, that's propaganda, you know, like in reality, it opened up in different ways. Yeah, I mean, I accept that, you know. Yeah. At least we start getting concerts and good musicians going back to the country.
Really good musicians, too.
But really good musicians, finally,
it was a
for 17 years.
It was a democracy with Pinochet still involved in the government.
Yeah,
but the policies,
the economical policies, they kept the same.
Yeah.
And many of the abuses that happened, they were not resolved until now, after 20 years of supposedly democracy. Yeah. So, you know, like, I call it democracy of paper, you know, of a phony democracy, you know, in reality never came democracy. And the good thing, I think now people start realizing that in finally, you know, because now internet, everything is global, you know, everything start, anything that happened anywhere, you know it right away. You know, you have access. And also you have access to contrainformación.
Yeah.
You know, like not only the mainstream shit that we've been feeding all these years.
It's changing the world. I mean,
it's changing a lot. But at the same time, I think it's also like there's the bad side of that is that people get to choose, pick and choose what to listen to.
Right.
And most of the time, they just go strictly to the one that they know they're going to feed them what they already believe.
Right.
You know, I'm going to only go to the media that's going to already tell me what I believe and reinforce my beliefs. And they choose not to expose themselves to different opinions. You know, that's what's happening a lot with this, with the internet communication. You know, a lot of
people, it's true. But you know, I still feel it's a platform to put all those ideas down there. And then photography, just to finish, you know, what you asked me about the photography in Occupy, I was thinking because, okay, I can be carne de cañón, you know, like being the protest.
Cannon fodder.
Yeah, in the first, you know, line.
Front line.
But I think my most effective way to really participate in Occupy, and I took it very serious, and pretty much that's where I start like getting the concept, oh man, I'm a photographer, you know, like and it was like, okay, I'm gonna portray this, you know, this is so important, needs to be captured under my eyes, obviously, you know, and I gotta give credit to my brother and friend Jose Antonio Galloso, because we kinda share this together, this passion for photography. He's a writer from Peru, and we'll go together many times, you know, and
you stay overnight a couple of days at the camp,
and we
right?
stay, yeah, we stay several times overnight for the raids, you know. We were in the alert. I mean, when the, you know, like
when they raided,
you know, they send you the text, and yeah, we're basically trying to defend, but obviously, you know, we were overpowered, and
did
with
you
brutality.
Get arrested that night?
Not that night, but I got arrested in January 28th, which was pretty intense, man, because you know, in Chile, I was kind of used to getting arrested for some reason.
Paco Culiao.
Yeah, Paco Culiao. I could deal with them. I know how to, you know, like, but, you know, when I came here and for 7 years I didn't have papers.
So you had to keep it down low.
And then I always was, like, afraid, you know, like, very,
you
like...
You don't want to get in
anything,
trouble with the law.
Yeah, anything I do, they're going to kick me out. I'm fucked.
Another one?
Mm-hmm. And but, you know, then I got my green card and I started taking a little more risk every time, you know, like pushing it.
You know, that's an ironic thing. Like, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's a lot of things, common thing that we as immigrants, we all know about. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people that oppose immigration don't know about. So every time that I see, like, people who oppose immigration, I say, like, oh, these illegal immigrants, they're all criminals. They come here to commit crimes. And I'm like, dude, like, we used to commit crimes down in Latin America. Then we come here and we have to, like, we have to stay away from the police, like, no matter what. Like, I have a lot of friends who were graffiti writers down in Argentina, and once they moved to the United States.
Yeah, let's define your crimes, because we're not talking about, like, you know,
they're like, oh no,
they'll confess now, man.
Yeah, like, no, but like,
hey, remember, Big Brother is listening too.
Artistic crimes.
But I'm talking about, like, friends of mine who, like, you and me myself, I used to go bombing and, like, you know, do tags and paint stuff like that. The moment I was here as an illegal immigrant, no papers, I was like, okay, I'm not tagging anymore, I'm not bombing anymore. So I'm like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
It's like,
no, you came here basically to work and be good, be a good citizen.
Wow. That's so interesting, like, how, you know, these situations change who you are, or somehow define what you do and how
Definitely.
You behave.
Yeah.
It's time for music. I'm the music moderator here.
Yes, you are.
What's going to happen now? Yeah. Where are we going?
I was thinking if we were talking about so much politics and stuff.
How can you top that?
I won't be able to. But I wanted to go with another classic. I mean, a modern classic, the song Shock by Anna Tissue, that talks about politics and stuff. So it's very related to what we're talking about today.
This is a classic already.
Y tu riqueza y tu tesoro, no. La hora sonó, la hora sonó. No permitiremos más tu doctrina del shock. La hora sonó, la hora sonó. 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 Países, solo corporaciones. ¿Quién tiene más acciones? Trozos gordos, poderosos. Decisiones por muy pocos. Constitución pinochetista. Derecho Pusdei, lindo fascista. Golpista disfrazado de un indulto elitista. Cae la gota, cae la bolsa, la toma, se toma. La máquina rota, la calle no calle. La calle se raya, la calle no calle. Debate que está ya. Todo lo quitan, todo lo venden. Todo se lucra, la vida, la muerte. Todo es negocio, poco tu tonto. Semilla, pascuala, método, se vuelve. Tus monólogos, tus discursos incoloros. No ves que no estamos solos. Millones de polo a polo al son de un solo coro. Marcharemos con el tono, con la convicción que basta de robo. Tu estado de control, tu trono podrido de oro. Tu política y tu riqueza y tu tesoro, no. La hora sonó, la hora sonó. No permitiremos más tu doctrina del shock. La hora sonó.
A la calle, mapuches, estudiantes y docentes reclamando al gobierno una mejor educación.
Golpe a golpe, verso a verso, con las ganas y el aliento, con cenizas, con el fuego del presente, con recuerdo, con certeza y con desgarro, con el objetivo claro, con memoria y con la historia, el futuro es ahora. Todo este laboratorio que a diario, todo este fallo, todo este económico modelo condenado de dinosaurio. Todo se criminaliza, todo se justifica en la noticia. Todo se quita, todo se pisa, todo se ficha y clasifica. Pero tu política y tu táctica.
crítica, tu típica risa y ética, tu comunicado manipulado, ¿cuántos fueron los callados? Pago guanacos y lumas, pago guanacos y tunas, pago guanacos nos suman, ¿cuántos fueron los que se robaron las fortunas? Tienenos tus monólogos, tus discursos incoloros, no ves que no estamos solos, millones de polo a polo, al son de un solo coro, marcharemos con el tono, con la convicción, que basta de robo, tu estado de control, tu trono podrido de oro, tu política y tu riqueza y tu tesoro, no, la hora sonó, la hora sonó, no permitiremos más, más tu doctrina del shock.
So, ¿qué años aquellos?
We're talking about 1989.
Yeah, but no, but no, I wanted to go back.
Y es una canción de Prince también.
No, no,
that was 1999. That was 10 years later.
Oh, bueno, 10 años.
No, but we were talking about the end of the Pinochet in 1989 and how that coincided with this whole like paradigm switch that happened worldwide.
Yeah, I was 17, man.
Me gustó más como lo dijo en español, ¿no?
El cambio de paradigma.
Sí.
Yeah, there was like a in that year there was a very like, you know, change of like social, cultural and musical that changed it a lot like in 1 year because it was
the wall of Berlin
and the end of the Soviet Union and all at the same time in Chile was that big change.
And it was the first time that I got in jail.
In 1989. There you go.
Yeah. It was bautized, you know.
Confesando sus crímenes.
Yeah.
Okay, ahora mejor háblanos de tus aventuras sexuales.
No.
Confessions.
I wanted you to say what you were saying off the air.
Confessions of a fisherman.
Yeah. What you were saying off the air about your experience with this particular song. I like that bit.
Well.
Primero de mayo.
Yeah.
Primero de mayo.
Mayday.
Bueno, primero quiero decir que me encanta Anita. Encuentro que es una mujer increíble. Tengo la suerte de haber creado una amistad con ella y compartir, ¿no es cierto? Aquí y allá. Conozco el factor humano, ¿me entiendes? Porque muchas veces el artista, ¿no es cierto? Pero ya cuando conoces el factor humano, ¿quién es? Muy linda persona. Y de hecho,
I'm a witness.
De hecho, cuando la conocimos con Gabriela, con mi esposa, fue antes del disco La Bala. Y mencionó un poco, ¿no es cierto?, de que estaba trabajando en el álbum. Pero, o sea, yo no ni siquiera me imaginaba lo que era, ¿me entiendes? Pero cuando escuché, me voló el cráneo. Fue, wow, this is like major, you know, like instant class, about all that song, man, because it was just like so right in time when
the
students,
student protest.
Movement, and well, they're still going on, and they will keep going on. You know, I know how they are.
And that's been like since forever. Like, I remember the first time I went to Chile in the year 2000, and I remember being stopped in the streets. I was like walking down the streets in downtown Santiago, and I remember some students from the university students came up to me and it's like, oh, do you want to sign this petition for like public education?
Hold on. Before you continue, for all of those that have no idea of the context of this student fight in Chile about public education, tell us a little bit about what is this fight about? Briefly, let's not get too deep.
real brief is basically education. Education in Chile is one of the most expensive in Latin America and in the world.
For university. Education.
For university. And basically all the public universities being kind of cut back and privatized more and more. So there is an unbearable situation because, you know, like you study, you work hard, and then you own the bank a lot of money.
Which is something that happens in this country.
Which happens in this country, too.
To the extreme.
And resonates
but over
in
there
Mexico
is even
right
more
now
extreme.
With the education reform.
But in Mexico, you have UNAM, which is like
education still public
cheap
in Mexico
compared to any any, even the public schools in Chile, Universidad de Chile, still you have to pay a lot of money.
That is changing, unfortunately.
Yeah. But basically, you know, students are raised up in arms at least like 5-6 years ago with the Movimiento Pingüino because the uniform that they use and demanding educación gratuita de calidad. Yeah, and obviously, you know, the market, the governments, the neoliberal governments, obviously, you know, it's not their business, you know. Yeah. They don't want that, you know. Why
bother educating the poor people?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, like, we need them to stay, you know, so brutal.
Ignorant.
Yeah. We can keep exploiting them, you know. Exactly. That's the whole basis of capitalism.
Yeah, so the students rise up and you know, they're still fighting and they were deceived. They have, like, they deal with Bachelet. Now they're dealing with Piñera. But
at the fight continues.
The fight continues, and I think they're still gonna keep fighting until they basically achieve what they want.
Right, and there's a lot of struggles right now in Latin America, like in Colombia with
Colombia.
The agriculture, and Mexico with the teachers too. Yeah. And there's at some point, like, you know, I just think, like, again, I'm gonna use this phrase again, but like the planets are aligning, and something big is gonna happen. Se viene el estallido.
Yeah.
But in Chile in particular, I would like to know, these kids are pretty much the sons of what happened, of the dictatorship.
Right.
How does that resonate in what they're doing right now, in your opinion?
Well, yes and no. I am a son of the dictatorship because I was 1 year old when the coup d'etat happened. I was born in 1972. So, you know, I grew up with the dictatorship. These kids right now, they don't know because this happened 40 years ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they I think that this is my personal opinion. I may be wrong, and people may argue with me, which is fine. But I think now it's a tradition from all what we have before, mm-hmm. and we've been losing. But also, I think they don't necessarily are politicized in the sense of belonging to a political party.
Oh, no.
That's what I want to say. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, like, before, in my time, you know, like, being from the Socialist Party, from the Communist Party was cool.
Yeah.
It was like, be part of the, you know, like,
of the
resistance of the change. But not anymore, you know. So these kids are in a different move, mm-hmm. you know. And I believe they are more into the anarchism than any other way, you know, because it's
even though if they don't call it anarchism.
But even though they don't call it anarchism, exactly. But I also want to say that in Chile, the students are the ones that they have been bringing a lot more attention to the media, you know. But in reality, is the fight is being going on in all fronts, mm-hmm. you know?
With the Mapuches, in the South.
But also the workers, man.
Yeah.
The workers, you know? Like the people that own their houses. I mean, they are in debt with their houses because mm-hmm. they have the crazy system that people get in debt
They're all the country's also recovering from major earthquake.
Exactly, and also for being a country that is so centralized in Santiago, mm-hmm. also what I feel that is happening now is that the regions are sublevating. You know, se están sublevando. Yeah. Like Aysén in the north, La Freirina, Tocopilla. You know, all these towns, all these little far away from the capital, mm-hmm. they start like, fuck, man, you know, like, they got everything, they got the metro, all the good stuff, and then, you know, we go to the hospital and there is not doctors. We have a brand new hospital in Tocopilla. This is just recently happened that the city went up in arms, you know, and because they have a brand new hospital, but there is no doctors. There is no specialist. And they have to drive 2 hours away to Antofagasta to get medical attention. So that doesn't make any sense, you know. Yeah. And so it's also, you know, like it's in many fronts. And as you say, also the Mapuches,
the South is the big front,
you know. Because
they're fighting for their land and they're the right
recovering,
for their
recovering their land, basically, from the big latifundistas, you know. They basically, you know.
And
like
the repression
Pinochet,
has been horrible.
They sold all the land, you know, and all their
the
land.
The repression against the Mapuches being horrible, you know.
That's crazy. I mean, I get a lot of reports from Chile, you know, like from independent media and a lot of pictures, you know. I'm connected with a few photographers that have been covering all that. And brutality is out of hand, you know, like people losing eyes. Yeah. I mean, shooting.
Well, the thing is, like the Carabineros, which is the police force in Chile, they're always renowned for being like very
brutal,
like, very
gorillas,
hardcore.
Onda la policía de Bart.
It's a militarized, you know. It's a very militarized police. Yeah. Yeah. You know, like I was coming from Argentina when I went to Chile for the first time. I remember I was shocked by the way the police act in Chile. And
right.
Like, and I was like next door. I'm like your next door neighbor. Yeah. I went to Chile for the first time, and I was like, whoa, dude, here the police are like, they're like soldiers.
Like, no joke. Mm-hmm.
No, they were like
they are soldiers.
Riding up with like in horses, you know, on the streets in downtown with the big sticks, like ready to crack your head. And I was like, what the fuck? You know?
And they would do that.
Yeah, they would.
Well, we knew from the beginning that this was going to be a very political
That was the theme of
podcast today. Yeah. And
you want to change the tone with the music?
Well, no, I just, you know, we're remembering that this other 9/11.
Exactly.
And I think for those of you that are not from Latin America, I think you should also remember that this country had a huge role in that 9/11
exactly.
in Chile.
Oh, yeah.
And so
and it's
think
very
Nixon
about that.
And Kissinger.
Nixon and Kissinger.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's been proven on paper.
But
you know,
let's go to the Mexican 9/11, which was also another politically charged.
The
El Festival de Rock y Ruedas de Avándaro.
Avándaro.
Mm. Oh,
Avándaro is like...
The one of the girls showing her tits?
Yeah.
You saw that? Yeah, you saw that.
She's known as La Encuerada de Avándaro. Yeah. So
La Encuerada de Avándaro.
Eso fue lo único que se supo de todo el festival.
Nobody knows
la
her
banda,
name.
Nadie sabe
well,
quiénes
that's
tocaron.
What, that's what the conservative media exploited the most to
say that it was an orgy.
Para satanizar todo el movimiento.
What year was that? 60-something or
no,
70?
No, it was in the 70s.
Oh, I thought this this just happened or something
year, you know,
like that.
I should know this.
But I love the fact that they used that photo of that. ¿Cómo se llama? Se llama Gabriela, I think, right?
Sí.
And she was like, you know, and then the whole
con
thing.
Alarma.
Yeah, and the whole thing is about like, well, whose fault was it? You know, was it the parents' fault? Was it whose fault was this?
What happened? I don't know the story.
Hold on, let me give some context.
Okay.
So, El Festival de Rock y Ruedas de Avándaro was a music festival that was going to happen near Mexico City in a it's a park. It's like a national park. There's a forest and beautiful and whatever, and it's called Avándaro. The place is called Avándaro. So a lot of bands were going to get together. And, of course, there was a lot of political, denuncias and dialogue in there. So the bands started playing, and people started getting high and drunk and whatever. And this is the 70s.
Rock and roll.
They're hippies.
So sure enough, a girl, just one girl, as far as I know, there was just one recorded case.
One girl who
took off her shirt. And the press
voluntary
was,
or
no, yeah, totally. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like,
because she was high and she felt like
very
naked.
Which
she was probably on mushrooms, and that's what
the press was all over it, and they took a lot of photos of her and whatever,
and they exposed her like it was an orgy because she was showing her tits and she was surrounded by men.
But this is the crucial part of this.
It came all the
one
religion.
Of the bands at the time, I believe. Miguel Guerrero would crucify me
of
if
course,
I say a wrong name, so I'm not going to say the name. But at
he
some
doesn't
point,
listen to this show.
He says...
He's a fan.
the singer said, y que chingue su madre el gobierno, right? Like, the government can go fuck itself. Mm-hmm. And at that point, the festival was being broadcasted on the radio, and they shut it down. And that was the end.
Censorship.
Of a lot of musical, you know, expressions in Mexico
years.
for a lot
for
of time.
20 years.
Something like that, right? Pretty much.
Yeah,
right?
That was in the mid.
That was the beginning of the blackout.
Of the blackout. Oh, yeah. After that, the people had to go and have clandestine rock concerts that were known as Hoyos Funkies and all that. So that was the beginning of that the dark ages of Mexico.
Wow.
Mexico's music.
Mexico's rock.
And then after that, and we were talking about this later, earlier, I'm sorry. You know, so you basically listen to the music that was curated by the Mexican government. And it was like the repression of the 70s during the time where people were, you know, killed and disappeared and all political movements repressed. You could only listen to, you know, cheesy pop music from Argentina and from Spain and whatnot. Until eventually...
No political content, no social content.
Just love. Love, love, love.
Love, love, love.
So what are you going to... How are you going to illustrate this?
Yeah.
Juan Data, the challenge.
I wanted to play Tuna Cola, just because you like...
You want to play What Is My Cola?
Tuna. Tula Cola? Tula and Tucola?
Tuna Cola.
And not the Cola de Barrio.
It's like a weird combination of words. It's not Cola. It's like, what?
Tuna Cola is a trio of like electropop from Chile.
I'm sorry, Tuna
Cola.
I'm ignorant.
There's an electropop trio from Chile. One of the members is DJ Caso, who was the second DJ of Maquisa and the second formation of Maquisa. But it has nothing of hip hop. It's more like electro pop.
What does Tuna Cola mean?
I don't know.
It comes from some.
But Tuna Cola.
Yeah.
Tuna Cola.
Wow. They have this song.
So I'm not the only one surprised about this.
No.
They have a song called.
Bueno, cola is last.
Tuna is like a fish.
Tuna is like a gun.
Yeah.
And Tula is.
I don't
dick.
Know. Whatever, yeah. Whatever this is.
Tula,
so this
Tula
is like
Cola
a hermaphrodite.
I don't think the name of the band matters in this case. The name of the song does matter for what we're talking about. Okay. Because the name of the song is Sudamerican Rockers.
Oh, the Prisioneros.
So
the cover.
It's a wink on that Prisioneros song.
Prisioneros.
We're talking about sex. Prisioneros.
Prisioneros.
It's not a cover of the Prisioneros song strictly, but it's
really. Oh man, Jorge González on the
album. Yeah. So this is kind of like a different version.
Viene.
Sudamerican rocker.
Sunshine up the street. So clap your hands and make some noise if you know what I mean. side of the street. And you know, and you know, and you know.
Don't trust us, we won't let you down. So come and get what you need so we can start it up. And you can trust us, it's not stopping us. We're gonna move on, we get to burn right. You get to trust us, you get to move on.
Sudamericano rockers, we're just some crazy motherfuckers. Y estamos aquí por el body shaking, cool and shaking, cool times. We come out harder, do it our way, and we can wait until it's Friday. 'Cause you can feel it in the air, this town is ready to burn. We are the Sudamericano rockers. Some crazy motherfuckers. We're in the business of the body shaking, merry making good times. We come out hard and do it our way, and we can't wait until it's Friday. We come out hard.
We're with motherfuckers. No, it's not a cover. Like I said, it's not a cover of the Prisioneros. It has the same title of the Prisioneros songs, and so it kind of like refers to the classic Prisioneros songs from the
80s.
Yeah. Thank you. It's not cumbia and it's not hip hop.
But it was really refreshing.
It's very refreshing.
Refreshing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It feels so refreshing.
And you know, we were like talking about something like very moody, so I wanted to bring it up to like bring some happy mood back to the program.
You surprised me there, man. I mean, yeah, that song. I don't know the band.
Tuna
and
Cola.
Tuna Cola.
Tuna Cola.
I mean, I don't know. Like in Chile, cola is...
Cola is the same. It's the same everywhere that they speak
is
Spanish.
Is it really? La colita. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of terms that you say in Mexico, and you're like, you would not say somewhere else. Like,
So
there's consensus: Argentina, Mexico, Chile here that cola is cola.
Yeah,
okay.
Because that doesn't come from Latin America.
But you know, it's crazy because in Chile also cola, alguien cola es alguien gay.
Oh, sí. Hmm. Y bueno.
Cola. You know, like, ooh. Yeah.
Okay, interesante.
But it's crazy because I don't know where it's coming from. Yeah. I have no idea. It's sometimes, you know, like, I get
what
like,
I didn't
curious,
know,
like, where,
bueno,
where
es que te gusta
is
la cola.
Coming from?
Te gusta la cola, pues.
What I didn't know is like that in Mexico, for you guys, like, the word culo, it's like... It's something that's like really strong, and
it's a strong
you don't say it out loud, like
where?
To a person.
In Mexico?
Like when no, in Mexico, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In Argentina, we say culo to everybody, like with your mom,
and
your friends,
and in
to
Spain
everybody.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I moved to LA first, and I was working and surrounded my roommate and all my coworkers were all Mexican, and they were shocked when I would say like, oh yeah, tu culo, que esto, you know, like, and they were, oh, you know, like, no, we don't say that. And I was like, what the fuck, you know?
No, you don't say culo.
Culito.
Well, now with that.
They say pompis.
Yeah.
Now I was like, what the fuck is
que
pompis?
Que ciútico, ¿no? Suena como ciútico.
Yes, it sounds like.
Super snob.
It sounds like something like a 6-year-old girl.
Pompis sounds cute.
Pompis sounds like something a 6-year-old girl would say. Yeah. Me pompis, you know. I'm an adult. I say culo, motherfucker.
Hey. I'm a grown up, I'm a man, I say pompies. pompies.
Well, now with that song, the culo song. Culo.
Amor de culo?
Yeah.
No, Pitbull song.
Culo,
yeah.
Like,
no,
song.
It's
everybody
DJ
says
Mendes.
Culo.
Ah, mover el culo.
No, that's Silvia Curiaque.
That's Silvia Curiaque.
Yeah. No, but he's talking about...
Estoy hablando de la de... La manita, ta, garita,
tiene tremendo culo.
That's Pitbull. Pitbull.
Yeah. I don't know. Is that Pitbull?
Yeah, that's the song
that
made...
Is that early Pitbull?
That's the first song that made Pitbull famous.
The only good song that I think... Actually, I mean...
But going back to the...
Well, compared to what he made afterwards.
Going back to the Silvia Curiaque song, the Amover el culo, when that song came out, and I remember they played on MTV Latin America, and they would censor when they say culo, and we were shocked in Argentina. They would say amover el culo, and I was shocked in Argentina because everybody says culo on TV like every single day.
It was not censored in Mexico
on MTV, like not in Mexico. MTV
no,
was
I guess, but
lo que pasa es que la Argentina tiene buen culo, man.
No, No, pero Juan Data y yo tenemos ese como, ¿cómo puedo decirlo? Es como compartimos esa frecuencia paralela de MTV Latino.
Yeah.
Like we were watching the same shit when we were in our early 20s.
Yeah, right? All Latin America was watching that same shit.
Yeah, because there was only one MTV and it was only MTV Latino y todos se tenían que chingar el mismo MTV, ¿no? Mm.
That was from
and I don't remember Kulo being censored.
Yeah, they censored him.
Let's call Javier Andrade.
And I was shocked because like, in everywhere else, if you watch Argentinian TV, they say the word culo in the air all the time, and it's not a bad word, you know.
No, yo he visto comerciales from Spain, the like baby products for like rashes.
Para el culo de su bebé.
Para el culito de tu niño. Y cosas así. Yeah. Yo sé que no es una palabra mala, pero. Yeah. Es que sabes que culo en México no son las nalgas.
Es el orto.
Culo en México es el ano.
Yeah. El hoyo.
El ojo pollo.
El ojo pollo.
El hoyo funky.
Mira, ahí sale lo guarro. Ahí le sale lo guarro.
El ojo pollo. No, me salió el chileno. Me estoy acomodando al.
Oh, sorry, Chile.
¿Cachai, weón? Que yo también puedo hablar chileno.
Pero los pollos no tienen el ojo así, güey.
¿Cómo que no? ¿No has visto al pollo?
Yo he visto los pollos a los ojos, no les he visto el ano a los ojos.
Pero mira, cuando pastan, por eso te dice, güey, cuando está pastando, está con la colita parada, tiene el culito paradito, entonces
es lo que
ojito del pollo.
Y este
el
ha sido nuestro
pollo.
Servicio cultural.
No, esto es lo que se dice cuando estás en un antro, como después de las 2 de la mañana.
¿Como el balazo?
Si algo haces de cuentas, ¿eh?
¿Qué dice?
No es cierto, el balazo cierra temprano,
dices,
no es cierto.
No, es cuando dices que sea este agujero, aunque sea de caballero, o que sea hoyo, aunque sea de pollo. Así es, ¿no? Ya, ahora es como lo que venga, ¿no? Ya,
a lo que
no
venga. Importa,
lo que venga, que sea algo.
Después de las 2.
Sí, después de las 2 de la mañana.
Una de las groserías que más me gusta del slang chileno es que dicen de los gays cuando que dicen, se gasta parejo.
Se gasta parejo.
Se gasta parejo. Like it gets worn out the same from the front and from the back.
Oh, okay.
It gets evenly worn out from both sides. Se gasta parejo.
We are all uneven, you know, like heterosexuals are uneven, you know, like.
Because in Argentina they say atiende por los dos mostradores, you know.
Pero sea para los dos equipos.
Yeah, pero si gasta parejo suena mucho mejor.
Muchas mujeres podrían debatir esta teoría.
Que se gastan
parejo.
Bueno, no sé, depende.
No sé, tú te gastas parejo.
Hay chicas que se gastan parejo.
Pero es que hay dos hoyos ahí también. O aquí dice picha para los dos lados, ¿no?
Hay gente. Hay quienes se gastan parejo. That's all I'm saying.
Bueno, yo nomás me gasto por delante.
Really? Le sacas punta al lápiz.
Exactamente, eso me gusta. Saca puntas.
And it keeps going.
Saca puntas.
Oh, we go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I know. Let's go back to the 9/11.
Saca puntas.
Once again, this show has been sponsored by Negra Modelo Beer. As you can tell, you listeners.
We love you, Negrita.
There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 cadavers of Negra Modelo on the table.
Y yo que tenía tanto respeto.
And we started with mezcal.
Ya le perdí el
ese mezcal ya se terminó.
Ustedes me están pervirtiendo, ¿eh? Yo te lo digo, si yo soy un buen chico.
Un buen chico.
A las 8:30 estoy en camita.
Yo era padre de familia.
A las 6 a.m. está haciendo yoga. Y todo lo demás.
That's you. You're the one who does yoga when you wake up.
Tiene que ver más.
Yoga is my new drug.
Yoga.
Does it get you high?
If you do the yoga, you get a little bit of a high.
Did you hear about the guy who invented Bikram yoga? That he's like, they're like suing him for sexual harassment.
Did you read that?
Plenty of like massive amounts of students. Like he was like harassing
close your eyes. Now open your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this guy, he's like,
check out your tongue and think.
He's like in this heated room with all these girls wearing yoga pants, and he's like,
I read
the
article.
Move your ass a little.
Was that Vice magazine? I don't know where I read that.
No.
I'm sure. I
didn't see it on Vice. No.
Yeah, I read about him. Yeah.
That's what he reads.
I do read Vice, but that wasn't
in the bathroom.
That wasn't Vice.
In the bathroom.
I read Cosmo.
No, you were gonna say something that you wear. What do you wear, Pedro?
What I wear?
When you go to your Bikram yoga class.
Why? What do you wear?
You know
who I heard about it for the first time? You know La Bersuit, of course. You were talking about it. Se viene el estallido. The bittersweetest Argentinian cumbia punk, whatever.
Bergarabat. Bergarabat.
Yeah. I remember, like, I interviewed them a couple of times.
Cuando digo verga, el pelón se me traba ese, la boca.
Yeah. se te traba la lengua.
Es como que...
Se te traba la lengua. Se te
y luego le pones garabat. Es yeah. como aplausos. Que...
La lengua aplausos. Se te pone en posición.
Aplausos. Sí.
But sigan.
I interviewed Bittersweet a couple of times back in the day. And like, I remember the last time I saw them... when they went to play in LA, like I think it was like 2002 or whatever.
Corrí el año 2002.
I paid
the 2000.
Let me tell the story. The story is like, okay. I was hanging out with them after the show. I went to the hotel with them and we were like chilling and talking with Gabriel Correa, the singer. And he was like, this guy is like a massive like drug consumer. Like all his songs, as you can tell, they're all about like doing like crazy psychedelics, and like he's very into like the whole psychedelic culture and stuff like that, you know. And I asked him like,
can you elaborate
what was
that,
his new thing with drugs? And
I like him already.
This was not part of an interview. I didn't have my recorder on. I was like, so what are you doing nowadays? You know, what's your thing? He was like, yoga.
Whoa.
I honestly thought that he was kidding. I laughed. Like I thought it was a joke, and he was like, no, I'm serious. That's my drug. That's what gets me high nowadays. I'm not doing any psychedelics. It's all about yoga for me right now.
As you know, I'm a huge fan of Russell Brand.
Oh, of course.
And for many reasons. He actually did say that. I mean, you know, he was a heroin addict.
Yeah,
and all
he doesn't drink or do drugs anymore.
He doesn't do drugs anymore, and he has said several times. Although he does this really weird yoga, it's more like a. It's called Kundalini yoga, and it's very like you do a lot of aerobic movements and whatever. So I haven't really gotten into it because they also look like a sect of some sorts. Mm-hmm. It's more like religious, and I like my yoga to stay kind of like non-religious. but he claims that yoga brings that to him. He gets him or gives him his high or whatever he needs.
Yeah.
And I have practiced yoga in heated rooms, and that kind of like gets you a little bit like.
Yeah.
And I have had some really interesting experiences while I'm having meditation after yoga, especially after like a really intense yoga practice. But you know,
Did you ever have an orgasm during a yoga class?
No.
Not yet.
I haven't heard of that. What were you going
to
say?
I always been curious with yoga.
You have not practiced yoga?
Never.
Me neither.
Never. And
it's amazing because
I feel like I don't have
elasticity.
Well, yes, of course. Yeah, I don't have the elasticity, but also I don't know. I'm ready for that state of mind where, you know, like, so much things are going through my mind all the time.
Yeah.
But think that it's going to be kind of, you know, like meditation. Taking all that away, meditation.
Have you ever tried meditation?
Not really, man. No. You know, like, I mean, yes and no. You know, like, I feel like everyone, every single person, even if it's not into the New Age or yoga or the Asian, you know, philosophies, in a way, finds a way to cool down and you know, like getting in.
Well, you know, if
balance.
You think about it, meditating is basically like praying. You know, if you were raised Catholic or Christian, when you're thinking,
that's chanting. Chanting when you repeat a phrase, that's a way, like a natural way of the body of your brain to get high. If you do chanting, it doesn't matter if you're saying Ave Maria or Hare Krishna or whatever, you repeat on a loop, you're going to experience a sort of high.
Right.
Which is the same of getting high
sampling for the mind.
You know trompe?
Looping.
Huh? Looping. Trompe? Sorry, looping. No, that's what I meant.
That little instrument looping. Is like arf mouth or something
no,
like that.
I never heard of it. Okay.
Yeah, Mapuche, they use it.
What about that?
I start playing it a little bit, you know, because I can't play anything else, you know, but I got that And then if I play it more than 15 minutes and start getting like, in a, because, you know, your brain vibrates.
Uh-huh.
The sound, uh-huh. you know, because you do it with your mouth, it kind of, there is a vibration of it. And then when you start doing it, this just happened to me. Yeah. I don't know if other people experience that or not, but, you know, like, sometimes, well, I get in trance, you know, like I start.
You mentioned
like
that the Mapuches
like
used to do it.
Yeah.
And when you go to music in the tribal sense, like most music in tribal things was connected to like religious rituals or getting high, you know, like
right.
if you go to like African drumming, it was all about getting
actually,
trance.
Right. Right. Right, and it's pretty much
and
that.
And getting high before was all about, it was more a religious experience after.
Of
like
course.
It was a way to connect.
Because that's where religion comes from.
Because in that time, also in the old times, people were doing natural drugs.
Yeah.
You know, like coming from plants.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You
know,
mushrooms,
we have peyote.
Yeah. Marijuana,
yeah,
peyote,
ayahuasca,
San Pedro,
yeah, like
you know, and
cucumelo.
Others.
So what we're gonna do is like we should have like a bunch of drugs here and do them and record
okay.
it. And
that would be
happens.
Crazy because we will be like
3 hours later.
All doing noises and crying.
But you know what? For real, mushrooms is my favorite.
Oh, me too.
No, flea
it's
market
like
finds,
it's the most beautiful
finds.
Experiences.
I'm a huge mushroom advocate.
Yeah,
I think
me too, man.
I
want to initiate my daughters with it.
I'm a true believer. I'm a true believer that the whole Western civilization has been built around the cult of mushrooms. All pagan religions come from the cult
yeah,
of mushrooms.
Of
even
course.
Catholicism and Judaism, they all come from the
even
cult
Christmas
of mushrooms.
And
yeah,
all
Christmas
those
is all about the cult of mushrooms. We talked
yeah.
about that on one show.
Yeah,
I think
no,
like
we, did. No
all,
we didn't.
Yes, we did.
No.
Yeah, we did. No. About like
you were high.
We
yeah.
talk about like
maybe you guys should do a show only about
yeah.
drugs,
yeah.
but
yeah.
but natural
we
drugs.
We should bring like
yeah.
Yeah.
We did talk about Santa Claus being the shaman of
yeah,
of,
yeah.
of the mushrooms, the
was
mushroom harvest.
Was that
the
day when we had that chocolate thing?
No.
I don't really remember
that was your
anything
birthday,
about
right?
that.
Well, that was
in
your birthday.
The equinox, you know,
yeah.
like the winter equinox, the shortest day of the year,
yeah.
and then they'll basically harvest the mushrooms
yeah.
and then hang them
on
in
the
yeah. pine trees,
yeah.
and that's the concept of
the
you know, like of the Christmas tree now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like that's where it's coming from.
Oh yeah. my God, we're going places.
Did you know? Did
I'm
you know?
You don't have
I
a
know.
Mushroom song? Something
I know.
Like that?
Yeah.
The mushrooms.
Cucumelo.
Yeah.
I like this.
The mushrooms that they had in Northern Europe, where the
wow.
whole Christmas ceremony comes from, is the Amanita muscaria, which is the one,
yeah.
the red one with the white spots, the typical
yeah.
one that you see in all
Alice
Greece.
In Wonderland.
No, and you see in the Christmas postcards and stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh, red
I love nice. Painting that.
But
you know,
you know something curious about the Amanita muscaria is that if you eat it, it doesn't affect you psychedelically. It doesn't give you a psychedelic effect right away like the psilocybin
so
mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is like if you eat it and you pee and then you drink that pee,
what?
That's when you get the effects.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I'm serious.
Wow.
I'm serious.
Lo has comprobado.
No. Hey. Amanita muscaria works like that. You eat it, then it goes through your body, and then
por
like
tell you
the
truth. No, I never tried the Amanita.
You can try.
Try the psilocybin.
Yeah, psilocybin is the one we all eat. But the thing is,
so
what they say about Amanita muscaria, let me finish this, is that how it connects with Christmas, it all goes back to here, is that reindeers they like eating them.
Of course.
And the people
sense.
Would drink the pee of the
reindeers
and get high on that.
And that's
after they eat the Amanita muscaria.
That's your Christmas present right there.
That's
okay,
a Christmas present
okay,
right there.
Okay,
wow.
We're going places. We're going
yeah.
down.
Yeah. Okay.
Music?
We are. Let's listen to some
music.
No,
but you know, let's go back to drinking your pee. I mean, because I
no,
drink
you
my.
You have to ingest.
What
drug
about
first.
With alcohol?
We were talking about reindeers.
Yeah.
I don't have a song about reindeers.
Here, I'll bring
but
you some pee.
Hey.
Hold on.
No, because I drink my pee, but nothing happens.
What?
But you have to eat the Amanita muscaria first. I don't have a song about reindeers, but I do have a song about
Gandhi.
Deers.
Gandhi
Ciervos by Astro. How about that?
Gracias.
Gandhi will
gracias,
used
señor,
to drink his pee.
Existe.
Actually, I love this song too.
And earlier we were talking about how
it's a great
la gravedad,
Astro
from gravity.
Yeah.
Astro. They were
Chile.
Here. They were here in San Francisco
so
like a
man.
Month ago.
I need to get in.
Yeah. I love this song.
Percy. qué pasa si corro con los ojos cerrados, con los brazos abiertos, abrazando al mundo. Mis papás solo tiran y tiran, me empujan para correr, hasta que llegué arriba donde lo vimos abrazar a tus cielos. ¿Y qué tal si le pido a Vishnu que trabaje y vuelen las vacas y rocas y plantas y árboles?
Ciervos by Astro from Chile. This is released in Nacional Records earlier this year or late last year. I don't remember exactly, but
that was a perfect.
It was a song about deers.
Yeah, and you know, this is one of those bands. Una de esas bandas que han sido, ¿cómo se dice? Las ha censurado YouTube.
What? ¿Por qué? Because of their asses?
Por el video de los culos.
De los culos.
Pero culo textual o culo tapado.
No,
al aire.
Desnudo.
Desnudo.
Okay. No, porque hablando de fotografía, que yo sé que te gusta la fotografía, un fotógrafo, esto lo vi en Facebook o algo así, pero un fotógrafo hizo su obra con sus fotos grandes, ampliadas, en una galería de culos, pero de assholes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Just you know, the asterisk. Yeah. The asterisk.
El ojo del pollo.
El ojo del pollo. Literal. And then, just kind of, and his argument was like, I'm showing all the diversity, you know, people, you know, everybody has a unique asshole.
Yeah. All the different hemorrhoids.
Exactly, you know, like.
Oh, yeah, pero
the gaping assholes from porn.
I like the idea of that, having the unique asshole. It's kind of like your fingerprint, but on the back.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. So you have to sit down and then you know who you are, you know. So
I remember, you know, how people can read your palm?
Yeah. They can read your ass too.
They actually know. I remember reading somewhere that a woman would ask you to sit on a photocopier, bear, and then send that to her,
actually.
And she would read that.
Yeah.
You put your ass on a photocopy machine?
Yeah. Of course, you want to have a portrait. A portrait of your asshole, you know, it's like a map.
Actually,
a map of your soul.
I never had access to a photocopy machine in private, in a place where nobody saw
me. But yeah, you have a phone.
Where do you do that?
You have a camera.
After hours.
Yo lo hice en la universidad.
Wait. Somebody was talking about, was it you? Told me a story.
It,
like,
it just takes 30 seconds, man.
De su culo, güey. No mames.
Yeah.
You just sit down in the
No,
scene,
this is,
you know,
this
like, is, 30 seconds.
I've never done
this. Is the equivalent, like, you know how you know, like.
Se siente calientito.
I used to put my dick in the scanner, but that's the closest.
You would put your dick everywhere. I mean,
on the bus,
on the street.
That's what people say, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Guilty as charged.
That's what people say. I don't know about that, but.
But anyway. we need to finish this show because we've been a little over the
yeah,
limit of our...
When we do, it's because it's a good show. That's when we,
it's a good show, so
yeah,
we keep talking.
We just keep going and...
We keep going for
talking our asses, out of our asses.
Yes, but basically. I have to edit it.
It's
so
very anal.
The longer
show.
We talk, the longer I have to work in the editing.
Well,
department.
You should work. What? It's about time you work. You know, it's all right.
But I wanted to thank you,
La Noche Joven,
Pancho, yeah, for coming. Yeah. And it was extreme pleasure to have you as a guest. Hey, and I hope we can repeat it sometime soon. Maybe next year.
My maybe, pleasure, man. And you know, we're neighbors, man. I mean, sooner. I live literally 20 blocks away. So I can ride my bike, you know.
Well, totally.
And,
you're welcome
and
here.
I have a lot of fun with you guys. You
thank
guys
you so
are
much.
Great.
Thank you so Excellent. Much. We have the table full of calibers of beer.
We have beers. We went through a 12.
And the photographic session is going on right now as we speak.
But it was an awesome show to have you here and to commemorate the 40th anniversary of Pinochet coup, the TAT,
Chile. And it's our 40th program, too.
And it's our 40th program, wow. And our hostess is 40 years old.
Wow.
And so there's a lot of 40s going
somos
on.
Somos cuarentones.
Hay un fetiche con el 40 aquí.
Yeah. Cuarentones, yeah.
Like we say in Argentina, in tango, we have expressions like, te canto las 40. This is Te Canto Las 40 show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buenísimo. I like it. Buenísimo. Yeah. Yeah. Salud,
it's
everybody.
All good.
Salud.
Salud.
Yeah.
Encantado.
And buenísimo. Thank you, everybody that listens and supports us every week. And
hello to Ghana.
Yeah, aguanta todo.
Thank you
madre.
For everybody from abroad. Thank you from all our listeners in Europe, in Australia, wherever they're listening to, in
Africa.
South America. And I don't know. That's it for now.
Se está poniendo muy sentimental.
I know. He's
I'm about to start crying.
I know.
It's like the end of the year or something.
Ha sido
like,
una semana difícil.
Bueno, ahora va a llegar a Chile seguro porque... Yeah.
We have an exiting song or not?
Yes, we're going to finish with Cruz del Sur by RVSB, a.k.a. DJ Raf and DJ Latin right. Beatman
okay,
together.
Ravi.
It's La Cruz del
Raf.
Sur.
Viene, viene. Adiós, chicos.
See you guys.
Adiós. I love you, papis and mamis.
Thank you for coming.